The next matter, Guilford Heights Association, 10-0816.
Chairman Bowman?
The head honcho.
Or about Chairman Bowden, I should say. I just want to take a quick moment to introduce this project. This is quite a bit of a unique request here. This is a situation where Guilford Heights Association and Mr. Bill Baker, on behalf of the association, is asking that the commission review or reconsider the civil charge that was assessed in this particular case, in fact, which was paid and would have resolved this project and resulted in no need for any further legal action. So since it is kind of unique, I think what we'll have in this case is Ben Stagg will give you a little bit of background and just remind you of what the project was all about. Mr. Baker is here. Certainly, I think it'd be appropriate to hear from him with regard to why he thinks the civil charge should be reconsidered. And then I think it would obviously be up to the commission to entertain whether or not you want to reconsider the civil charge, and then if you do want to reconsider the civil charge, what amount or what other process or what other issues you might want to consider here. So that was just sort of an introduction because of the unique circumstances of this project. And with that, I'll let Ben just give you a little background and remind you of what the details of the project were before we hear from Mr. Baker.
Thank you.
Well, I'll make it through. I had a cold all last week. Finally getting over it. As Tony mentioned, this project was previously heard at the commission hearing in August of last year. We are here, as Tony also referred to, that Mr. Baker has contacted us and would like to have opportunity to speak to the commission related to the civil charge. I'm going to just briefly go through the project to remind you of it and the things that happened related to it subsequent to the August hearing. Guilford Heights Property Association, Guilford Heights, the subdivision itself is located in this area, just south of the town of Claremont in Surrey County, Sunken Meadow area, if you're familiar with that, this is James River. It's a cottage community that was subdivided, I believe, back as early as the 50s. Has a very steep bank and has had a number of erosion issues over the years. Again, this is aerial photography of the site. The subject properties were located in this general area right here. There's two lots adjacent to the project. However, the association actually owns the beach area along this whole reach of the subdivision, and that's why they were the actual applicant. It was on the beach property itself. These are the structures that were reviewed. It's the block wall, which we've seen a number of these in Surrey County over the last year, in an attempt to address this considerably steep and eroding shoreline and sand beach. It was determined that the project was jurisdictional under the Beaches and Dunes Act. We did conduct a full public interest review for an after-the-fact request. These were put in place without permit, and that was the subject of the August hearing in 2010. We did have some concern with this type of material being used for a bulkhead-type structure. However, it's already installed, and with these forward sections here giving the wall some stability, we did recommend that it be left in place and recommended after-the-fact approval, subject to an appropriate civil charge. The commission did grant that after-the-fact authorization at the August meeting, predicated on some special conditions, which one was to put some riprap scour protection at the lower end of the wall, and that the association pay an $1,800 civil charge, as well as the contractor pay an $1,800 civil charge. That was approved by the commission. After that hearing, the civil charge was paid by Mr. Baker as the agent of the Guilford Heights Association soon afterwards in September. We did issue the permit. We heard from the contractor, who was not present at the August hearing, that he did not agree to the civil charge. and requested his opportunity to speak to the commission. He was afforded that opportunity at a subsequent meeting in October 26th, and the commission did consider his testimony at the time, indicating that he believed that the association was supposed to obtain the permits. Based on that testimony, the commission did vote to reduce his civil charge to $600, which he accepted and also paid on November the 8th. At that time, we considered the matter completely closed. We had already issued the permit to the Guilford Heights Association for the after the fact approval, and we had received a civil charge from both parties involved. Copies of both those hearings are in your packet. There's some letters, I think, that you were sent in advance of the hearing. They are part of the packet as well, to include the August commission decision hearing indicating the civil charge approval to Mr. Baker. And there was also a letter that was part of the association's packet of a permit application to the county from DCR indicating that the project, and this is way back in 2007, that the project as proposed at that time likely might need additional permitting from other agencies, including BMRC. We also wrote a letter to Mr. Baker in December, indicating that the pending application before the county did appear would require a permit from this agency under the Beaches and Dunes Act, and that no authorization was given at that time. We believe the project was constructed sometime in that same time frame in December when that letter went out. Came to our attention afterwards through the county that the project was constructed, and then we held a hearing. To summarize, we do believe that both the applicant and the contractor were provided with ample opportunity to address all the relevant issues related to this project during either the August meeting or the October meeting of 2010. While we did acknowledge at both hearings that there was some confusion about permit requirements, as I just noted, we did clearly inform Mr. Baker in December of 2009 that the project appeared to need additional authorization from the state, and the project was subsequently completed without that authorization. Additionally, after a full hearing before the commission, the association, through Mr. Baker, did pay the entire $1,800 civil charge assessed to them. Contractor at a later hearing also agreed to pay a reduced civil charge of $600. Following that, we issued the permit and believe the matter to be closed in lieu of any further enforcement action. Therefore, in accordance with the Code of Virginia 28.2.1240, civil charges are recommended, assessed, agreed upon, and paid in lieu of any further enforcement action or any violation associated with the Coastal Primary Sand Dunes and Beaches Act. We do not believe the code provides for an appeal of a civil charge once it's agreed to. Since the contractor was not present, we did afford him the opportunity to speak to the commission to address the issue, which was the charge was reduced, and he agreed and did pay it. We also believe Mr. Baker was afforded ample opportunity to address this issue at the August hearing about the violation and the after-the-fact permit request and the civil charge. Accordingly, staff maintains that no adjustment to the civil charge is appropriate. Additionally, we believe that such an action would actually break the civil charge agreement and be equivalent to an appeal of such a charge, which does not appear to be provided for under the code. Therefore, we recommend that the civil charge previously paid to and agreed to by Mr. Baker and the Guilford Heights Association at the August hearing not be altered.
Thank you, Mr. Staff. Before we go any further, I'd like to ask our legal representative a question.
Sure.
Do we even have the authority to grant an after the fact and give him relief from agreed upon civil charge after the permit's been issued and that was in lieu of enforcement and he was in agreement with it? Do we have the authority to go back and change it?
I think that's in the commission's discretion. I think it's quite clear under the law that payment of the civil charge must be by or with consent of the person who's in violation. It's sort of a peculiar situation here because he's already paid it. He hasn't chosen not to pay it, but he has paid it and he has changed his mind. But I do think it's within the commission's discretion to refund the money if he, at this point, is not paid with consent, and to reconsider. That doesn't mean you have to come to a different conclusion. And I think it's also quite clear that the civil charge is in lieu of any civil penalty that may be assessed by a circuit court, if the commission's inclined, or if the person who is in violation chooses not to pay the civil penalty, the matter can be referred to the Office of the Attorney General and processed through the appropriate circuit court.
But in this case, he's already agreed to it and paid it and was issued a permit.
Correct.
You think it is in our discretion, Mr. Plumlee?
Is this just an agreement that we would agree to modify? It's an agreement to pay, and we could modify that agreement to pay to a lower amount if both sides are willing to do so. Is that how you see that? It's not an appeal necessarily. It's just a request to modify the agreement. That may be not a smart decision on our part to do it, but that's in essence what the request is.
That's how I understand it.
Mr. Schiff?
Yes, the... I don't remember what I was going to ask. We had put some additional conditions on the project. Have they been completed?
My understanding they have. Mr. Baker may be able to confirm that today. I don't know that we've done this actual site compliance check yet.
Any other questions before we move forward? Mr. Tanker?
Yes. So tell me again exactly why he thinks he's due refund or change of...
Well, the letter he sent us didn't really indicate... Exactly why he wanted to be heard, although
exactly.
We had some conversations. I think he can best address that. I'm not really sure.
Mr. Rahman?
I can answer it.
Mr. Chairman, it seems to me that we're being asked to reconsider a previous action, and I think, I don't think the code precludes us from doing that. I think from a procedural standpoint, if as a deliberative body we wanted to do that, we could. I would suggest that we hear from the individual, hear his rationale, and then consider as a board whether we want to reconsider that previous action.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Is Mr. Baker here? Please come forward, sir. You please raise your right hand. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Please state your name. We're ready to hear why you think it should be reduced.
Well, I didn't think it was justified, Sean. However, that's it. And I look at the thing and see, well, you're opening yourself up for $10,000 in courts and what have you. I thought at that moment, let's be done with it. So, I paid the $1,800. And the contractor also was locked into $1,800. That time was reduced to $600. And I can't understand why I have to pay $1,800. So I contacted the people at DCR in Richmond. They kind of asked their advice. The chief deputy, Mr. Wilkins, came down, looked at the project. You haven't done any harm. In fact, you've helped James River. That's what my intent was. Then he reviewed all the paperwork and went back and talked with director, I guess you'd call him, DCR. And I don't know what they said or whatever, but they must have communicated something to VMRC because Tony called me and asked me to be present today. Giant.
Any questions for Mr. Baker? Shit.
I think when we first talked about this, there was some uncertainty on the involvement of the contractor in getting these permits, and that was not clear because he wasn't here. But after listening to him, And after reading this letter from DCR that specifically says that federal and state permits would need to be obtained, the letter was sent to you, not to the contractor. So although we have seen that the activity is environmentally not destructive, the fact that you ignored the letter from the state saying that you needed state and federal permits was a major infraction of of authority. So I mean that's why we originally did what we did, and I mean that's why I see why we should stand by what we did. I don't see any new evidence that shows that the state told you didn't need permits. I don't see any evidence that that you're supporting that.
The document that you're talking about, I think, would be that joint application submittal. Is that what he's talking about?
Talking about a 2007 letter from Department of Conservation and Recreation. And in there, it specifically states that, if you wanted to go forward with a project, that federal and state permits would need to be sought.
I see what you're talking about.
And that was addressed to you.
Okay. The only application or whatever that was not submitted was the one to Mr. Stagg's office, which is called a joint application permit. Okay. It was not submitted because I was told that it was not necessary. So then I got a letter from Mr. Stagg saying...
Who told you it was not necessary?
Surrey County.
And do you have that in writing?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I asked the contractor about it as well, and he said, no, that's not applicable. And I said, well, Mr. Stagg said we had to do this thing. So I met with Mr. Stagg at that point and said, what's this all about? And he said, well, you didn't submit the joint application permit. And I said, oh, is this what you're talking about? And he said, yeah. That's it. And I said, well, here it is.
Okay. Our questions are answered.
Then at that point, it needed some modification, what have you, but Mr. Stagg said his office could take care of that and what have you. And as far as I was concerned, that's the end of the issue. And it was dated June.
Okay. So, thank you.
Mr. Robin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to ask Tony Watkinson, if I could, if there was any interagency correspondence or communication that the commission should be aware of on this matter.
Other than what's in the record that you have before you, that was the background information. I received a request from Mr. Our Commissioner Bowman to contact Mr. Baker about this issue. It was our understanding that he desired to be placed back on the agenda, so we understood that it was his desire to be placed back on the agenda to have this considered. And I contacted him, asked him if he would submit something, request a formal letter requesting that it be placed back on the agenda. You have that letter in your packet, and as a result, we replied to him saying it would be back on this agenda for consideration at this meeting.
Any other questions for Mr. Watkins? Mr. Robin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I look back over the history of this, it seems to me that in our decision to apply an $1,800 charge on the first hearing, that was related simply to the matrix of civil charges, and so we made a finding either explicitly or implicit in this number that in fact the degree of non excuse me the degree of noncompliance was was major, but the environmental impact, as the applicant has stated, was minimal. And so both of those factored into that first value. We then heard subsequently from the contractor and lowered that to $600. And I think as I interpret that action, we were assigning a different level of responsibility to the contractor as it related to the project and as it related to the civil charge. And I don't think that's without precedent. So as I see the values that we assigned to the two different parties, it was in our judgment and in our findings as it related to levels of responsibility for the actions that were undertaken without the necessary permits.
Mr.
Chair. Yeah, I concur. It's plain and simple. There was no correspondence to the contractor. He was not in a major degree of non-compliance. This is a simple fact of, you know, Daddy said no, so let's go to Mommy. Well, you know, the county doesn't speak for the state and the federal government. This letter here from the state speaks for the state. The contractor didn't have privy to this letter, didn't know about this correspondence, according to his testimony. So I do agree with Mr. Robbins that the degree of difference is appropriate, and I'd like to move that we not renegotiate the civil penalties on this case.
Mr. Plumlee?
I would just add to what was just said. We heard from the contractor who brought his counsel and made a vigorous argument about the fact that he was not aware of this requirement. And we accepted it to some extent, and we rejected it to some extent. He was still a contractor. He still has an obligation to act as a professional, to make sure that what he does is in compliance. And so we held him responsible. This is the minimal charge that has been cited to these folks under this matrix. And it would be, I think, a problem for us to have a practice of you come back to us as much as you can until we finally give up and reduce it. And we probably want to discourage that. That's the only comment I had.
Mr. Pop.
I just question, I agree with everything that's been said by the members of the commission but I question whether we do need to have a motion or whether we can just take no action.
I don't believe we do, but our council can.
I think the motion would be to take no action. If you decide that you do not want to renegotiate.
So we can have a motion to take no action.
Get it on the record. I think that would be appropriate.
Okay. It would be stronger on the record. That way I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? Motion carries unanimously.